Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barbara Marina, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org, ship store. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth just said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio show. Today, we have Steve Cromer with us, and I'm Janice Cromer, the director. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, including the Atlantic and Gulf Coast intracoastal waterways. We have a little bit of a glitch this morning connecting with Curtis Stokes, our Admiral sponsor, Curtis Stokes and Associates. Curtis was going to be talking about the current market condition and buying your perfect loop boat. Again, we can't seem to connect to Curtis, so what we are going to do is replay Curtis's show on the same subject from last year. The only thing that will really be different is the current market, and I'll get Curtis to update us on that when he talks to us next week about selling your boat. Forgive me, you will hear the recording again of our introduction. Just ignore it and enjoy listening to Curtis Stokes.
Good morning and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide and Magazine, Green Turtle Bay Resort, Marina Life, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you, whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit us at our website, www.greatloop.org. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Everyone, as Beth said, this is AGLCA, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly radio show. With us today are Steve and Beth, and I am Janice Cromer. I'm the director. For those non-members listening out there, this Great Loop is actually a continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, goes into Canada, comes down our river system, and goes across the Gulf and back up the East Coast. Our association is basically comprised of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our primary purpose is to give out information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit and become a member. And don't forget to visit us on Facebook. Our guest host this week is AGLCA Admiral sponsor, Curtis Stokes, principal of Curtis Stokes and Associates. Curtis will give us tips on buying the perfect loop boat or any boat. During our broadcast, please feel free to call in and ask questions or give us comments. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Curtis, thanks so much for helping us out today, and we're going to start with a bunch of questions for you.
Sounds great.
Thanks, how does one start the boating process and doing it properly?
Well, I tell my students and my clients eventually that the first thing, before, let's say, you even contact a broker, I would recommend looking through magazines, yachting magazines, online from Yacht World to even the AGLCA classified ads, and walking around public marinas that don't have gates and just looking at boats. And the very first place to start is the exterior styling and seeing what works and doesn't work for you. It's kind of like buying a house. You know, if you drive along and you see a house with very poor curb appeal, are you really going to be happy living in that house? So the boat has to have curb appeal, which is personal to you, and that's where you start. Then you can get into thinking about layout and what I call toys, what you want on the boat, from things like water makers to jet skis to tender to whatever it is. And then, of course, you have a budget. You have what you think you might need in speed and whether you want to do trawler speeds or motor yacht speeds. What kind of range? Are you going to cruise to Bermuda, or are you going to do just the Great Loop or just local? Then you get into draft issues with the intracoastal and up in the Trent Severn and that, you know, Georgian Bay area. Height, certainly height is a big issue with the Great Loop. We constantly talk about, you know, the height restrictions on some of the bridges. And let's say you have a dock at home and there's a present dockage restriction on size. So these are all things to think about. And then one of the final things I talk to people about until we really get into details is the word compromise. And there really isn't a perfect boat out there that has absolutely everything on the list that you email me that's part of your search parameters. There's going to be something on every boat that's not quite on your list. So you really have to be willing to compromise and prioritize to find the right boat that's going to work for you. And then once you've got a decent idea of all of that, even just an inkling, that's when I recommend that you contact a broker and start getting some help.
Curtis, just a question. I would imagine it's critical that the captain, admiral, and first mate agree on that list before they send it to you.
Curtis, that we replay.
Rarely do they agree when I get to meet my clients. That's a work in progress. Occasionally, everybody's on the same page right up front, but it's okay to disagree because that's part of the compromise. And I always see it work together where one says, you know, that's actually not that big of a deal to me, and it usually is related to a down or up galley or an engine room access or flybridge steps, that type of thing. But most couples do work together and come to a compromise.
Okay, now tell us more about the process of what is exactly a buyer's broker?
Well, you've heard me mention this previously in some of my seminars. I'm very pro, very strong opinion on how to select a broker. I feel that you should hire a buyer broker, someone that acts more as a consultant rather than a salesperson who's just trying to sell you whatever boat happens to be in front of you. You know, the job of the listing broker is to work for the seller in getting that particular boat sold. I constantly see clients that come to me who are completely confused. They've picked up the phone. They've called five different listing brokers from ads in magazines or in Yacht World or some other online site, and they're getting all kinds of input from different brokers, and each broker is trying to sell them their particular listing. And if you go out and find the right broker who will work for you, and it's an interview process. You know, don't just pick somebody because you met them at a boat show or have a nice personality. You want to find out, do they really understand what you're looking for? Do they listen more than they talk? Are they willing to travel and preview boats for you and give you their feedback? You know, are they willing to work outside of a local area? Because you can buy a boat pretty much anywhere on the loop and start from that location if that's going to work for you. So you want a consultant, and it doesn't cost you anything to hire a buyer broker. The buyer broker is compensated by the seller and the listing broker. So it really is a benefit to have someone working on your side, and they will help you get a better buy than just going to the listing broker and hoping the listing broker will reduce their commission to the seller to get a lower price. You know, get someone on your side. You can even hire a consultant like Steve D'Antonio or a surveyor. from the technical aspect, but hopefully your broker has experience in the technical side also.
Okay, now I think I fully understand the difference between a selling agent and a broker. That's great. Once you hire the broker and you think you have the right boat, what's the next step?
Well, you've searched around and you found the right boat, and you're now going to make an offer. Every broker you work with should have a standard purchase and sale agreement that has been produced by one of the associations, the Yacht Brokers Association of America, or the Florida Yacht Brokers Association, or the California Yacht Brokers Association. They're all pretty similar, but slightly different just because of the different associations. But use that and submit your offer and negotiate it. Once you get it under contract, then you schedule a survey, sea trial, and the haul out is part of the survey. The buyer pays for the survey. I always, and I strongly recommend, that you hire both a hull surveyor and an engine surveyor. There are hull surveyors that will tell you they're capable of handling everything in the engine room. They may or may not be, but that's a lot for one person to handle in a day. It's worth the extra money. Spend it and get your due diligence done properly before you spend all that money on a boat. The survey process, you know, will last about a day, depending on the size of the boat. And by the end of the day, you will know from a verbal conversation with your surveyors just what's wrong and what's right with the boat and whether it's really worth proceeding. You'll do oil samples, so you'll get oil analysis reports back in a few days. And then when you sit down with their written reports and the oil analysis reports, then you can really think about, you know, are we paying the right price with input from your broker? Are we buying the right boat? Do we have any problems here that we need the seller to contribute in fixing? And if you get to the point where everything's acceptable, then you accept the boat. I always recommend accepting it in writing and having the seller sign the acceptance also. I have seen cases, not many, just occasionally in the past, where a seller got a higher offer and tried to argue that they never got the acceptance because there was no signature on it. So just a simple act of getting the seller's signature on the acceptance.
Once you have acceptance is basically a binding contract at that point.
Exactly, yep. And so,
can you tell me how the surveyors are paid? Is it a percentage of the sale price? Is it a flat rate? What can you expect to spend on a good survey?
Usually it's a price per foot. I see anywhere from $15 all the way up to $24 per foot, depending on the area where the boat is. It is a wide variance, but geographically, surveyors charge differently. Engine surveyors charge about the same amount, but it's not by the foot. It's usually a flat fee. And there could be travel costs involved if you bring a surveyor in from outside of the area. I never recommend taking a broker's recommendation on a surveyor. Sometimes, unfortunately, there are friendly surveyors. You want to pick your own surveyor. Certainly, you can take input from the broker, but you can go to the Society of American Surveyors, SAMS, SAMS.org, and look at their list of surveyors, interview the surveyor, ask for a copy of the survey, an example of a survey, ask them about the process, how do they go about surveying the boat. That will lead you to ask more questions. Ask for references. I mean, this is all about doing your due diligence. You know, you have to do it on your own. You can't rely on a broker, a lawyer, or anybody else. You really have to ask these questions to make sure you're making the right decision.
Curtis, the question I have is, do you have clients who are resistant to doing a survey?
Yes. I have some clients who, some have great experience, and I give them credit. They just want to keep their costs down. They think they can handle it themselves. But to get insurance, you're going to have a pre-purchase survey. And as many boats that I'm on day in, day out, and as much experience as I have, I still have surveyors who catch things that I don't see. And vice versa. You know, one of the benefits of having an engine surveyor and a hull surveyor is that you get two sets of eyes in an engine room and through the boat. And I've quite often seen an engine surveyor turn to a hull surveyor and say, "Did you just see that?" You know, or vice versa from the hull surveyor. So It really is beneficial to hire the right surveyors, pay the money, do your due diligence, look at it as insurance. You pay an insurance premium every year in case something happens. You're paying a surveyor to hopefully find anything that's wrong with the boat in a short period of time before you hop on at a large sum of money, and then it's on your dime.
Thank you. We're going to break for a quick commercial, and then we'll pick up again. We're ready, Beth.
Okay. Curtis Stokes & Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in Great Loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of the AGLCA at the commander level. If you're looking to buy or sell a Great Loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net, email Curtis at curtisstokes.net, or call anytime, 954-684-0218.
Thank you. Okay, Curtis, let's get started back again. You've surveyed the boat and you've made your decision. What is the next step? How do you get this whole deal finished?
The next step is hiring a documentation company. Now, here's another one similar to what Steve asked. There are people that prefer, you know, would prefer not to hire a surveyor, and there are people that would prefer to handle the documentation themselves, the closing. I highly recommend against that. I see it all the time in forums where someone argues that it's a very simple process, they did it themselves, and there's no issue. I promise everyone that about 2 to 3 times a year, I see problems with documentation caused by people doing it themselves. Hire a professional documentation company who will do an abstract of title, which is a lien search, like in a home or in real estate. And they'll go through the Coast Guard Documentation Center and look for any liens, hidden liens, any flaws. They'll quite often we will find that the hull ID number on the hull does not match the Coast Guard Documentation Center's information. We also have problems quite often with trusts where, let's say, someone has passed away and the bank and the Coast Guard have not been notified properly and the trust changed. So there are all these little hidden problems, but the documentation company will create the bills of sale, a personal seller's guarantee of title. That's another issue I always recommend, that in the contract it calls for the beneficial owner of the vessel to sign personally that they guarantee the title, because if you're buying from a corporation, especially an offshore corporation, and that corporation is closed down, there's no one to go after. So keep that in mind, and they will create that document for the signature of the seller. They will handle, once they have all the documents, they will then notify the broker, okay, I'm happy with everything. We have all the documents signed by the seller. We're ready to close. Then and only then should the broker release the funds to the seller. Once the seller receives the funds, you own the boat. So we go to insurance and make sure that you have insurance in place.
Okay, I think you've explained pretty well the process of buying your boat. I hope everybody out there who's looking for the perfect boat finds it. I recommend you go to Curtis. He'll help you. But, Curtis, tell us about the state of the market. How difficult is it to find your boat? How difficult is it to buy a boat?
It's an interesting market, to say the least. We're in interesting times, certainly. The boat market, a lot of people feel that it's a buyer's market, and in some cases it is. But there are also cases, depending on what you're looking for, where it's not a buyer's market. I challenge my clients to look on the market for, let's say, a 66-foot Choi Lee. There aren't any on the market right now. But if you're looking for a 42 Grand Banks, there are over 200 of them on the market. So it really depends on what you're looking for. A lot of people have bought some very nice boats at very low prices. They've gotten some great deals. There are a lot of owners who have come to us and said, I'm not selling my boat for what this market will bear, so I'm going to keep using my boat and enjoy it and hope that the market rebounds. So we are seeing some areas of the market where there's not much inventory. I have some clients now that are very frustrated because we can't find the right inventory. We can see plenty of boats that are in very rough condition or are overpriced for whatever reason, but we're having a hard time finding the right boat for these particular people. So it don't assume it's a buyer's market. I also have a lot of clients that come to me and say, well, I'm told to offer 20% off asking price. My response is, well, if a boat is 30% overpriced and you offer 20% below asking price, you just paid overpaid by 10%. You need a broker who will give you honest and information on the value in today's market. And this comes from comparables. So the broker should be showing you what has sold for what price when to really be able to tell, you know, where the pricing is today. Not just what boats are on the market. Anybody can see that in Yacht World or, you know, what the asking prices are. But you need to see what boats are actually selling for. We've actually sold some boats for full asking price recently. If the boat is priced right, there's no reason, if I sit down with a client, a buying client, and show them the comparables, why we can't justify paying what the seller's asking. You don't have to buy a boat for half price, and the people making half price offers are still out there looking for boats. They haven't bought anything from what I've seen. So it is a strange market, but there are some good buys out there, and there are some very realistic sellers. But you really have to do your due diligence and have a broker who's going to search out, not just in one neighborhood, but everywhere looking for you. The financing market is difficult, just like it is everywhere else. The banks are skittish. There's no question about it. One of my pet peeves in the marine lending industry right now is that we have a number of underwriters who either through lack of experience or laziness are using the buck guide or the powerboat guide or the one of these manuals that gives you valuation to determine the actual valuation for the loan to value. The problem is that these guides are not using sold comparables. They're actually using a set formula of depreciation. So if you look at the value in one of these guides of a 1981 42 Hatteras LRC, let's say, it's showing something like $50,000, which is ridiculous because the last one just sold for $115. I sold one for $125 a couple years ago. Another one sold for $125. I sold one for $118. When you look at those sold comparables, that's really what the boats are worth. So you're not going to buy one for $50,000 unless it needs a tremendous amount of work, and I guarantee you, you're going to end up with more than the market value in the boat by the time you get done. So buying older boats is very, very difficult in financing them. The banks want a loan on newer boats, which is another one of my pet peeves, because the older boats have reduce their depreciation dramatically and are a better, more stable investment for these banks than the newer boats, but that's their business. And there is money to be lent, Janice. I mean, they do have money. I have marine lenders calling me all the time. So if you have good, solid credit and you're buying a reasonably new boat from the late 80s, preferably in the 90s, and newer, there is financing available. You just, in the older boats, you may not get as much financing as you want. You may have to come up with more cash.
Now, what about insurance? We've had a lot of discussion forum postings that people are having a hard time getting insurance, especially on the older boats.
Absolutely, and that's another one of the tough ones, you know, that the insurance underwriters look at these, the age of the boat in the survey, or if they even look at the survey, and determine that it's not a good risk. And I disagree with that. I was on a boat yesterday, a 1986 47 Marine Trader.
Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern.
I've got good news, everyone. Curtis is now with us live, and we'll be able to get an update on today's market. Sorry for the glitch before, but Curtis, we welcome you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Janice. Good to be here. Sorry we couldn't connect earlier.
That's no problem. We have technical difficulties every once in a while, but I'm just glad you're here now. I know not too much has changed about the process for buying a boat. But I imagine today's market is a little bit different. Could you address that issue?
Sure. Yeah, the market has dramatically changed in a pretty interesting way. What's happening is prices certainly aren't going up. Boats are still depreciating, but not nearly at the level they were in the recession. But what's also happening is the inventory is coming down, which when inventory comes down, normally prices stabilize and go up, not in today's market. A lot of owners are looking at what they can sell their boats for, and they're saying, nah, I'll keep my boat a little longer, or I'll keep cruising, or I'll dock it behind the house. It's not costing me that much, and I'll just wait until the market improves. So in a lot of areas of the market, it's very, very hard to find inventory. We have a lot of frustrated buyers who are out looking for boats right now and just can't find the boat that they want. A good example is the 49-foot DeFever Raised Pilot House model. I sold the last three on the East Coast this year. There are none available on the East Coast, which I've never seen. Normally, there are quite a few 49s and 44 DeFevers. That's just one example. There are plenty of others. So it's definitely changing, that's for sure.
So it's not a matter of price. It's a matter of inventory.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. And then couple that with the builders not having built new boats in the past couple of years. So, you know, the market's not getting flooded with newer inventory from the late 2000s.
Wow, that is really different. So what do you suggest people do? Wait, change their dream boat? What would you advise?
Well, you know, if the right boat's not there, they don't have a choice but to wait unless they're willing to be more flexible in their search parameters. A lot of people are settling for an older boat or a smaller boat until the right boat comes on the market. We'll certainly start to see some change as the economy improves and builders start cranking up again and other options become available. Usually in the fall market, which we're about to enter, more people put their boats on the market, especially up in the north on both coasts, where they've used their boat for the summer and now it's time to eat.
So you would say perhaps, which we're going to address next week, it might be a good time to be selling your boat.
I think he just got cut off, folks.
Oh, my goodness.
Market. I mean, we're not overwhelmed, but, you know, it is increasing.
Okay. Is the financing insurance any different in today's market?
No, it really isn't. There's still financing available. The process is still frustrating. The valuations are difficult. The paperwork, the bureaucracy, you know, and the marine lending. But it's there. They do have money. If you have a bankruptcy or a short sale or anything like that, it's still very difficult. But if you have clean credit, we're financing quite a few sales these days, and we're not having a problem.
Well, that is good to know. Is there anything else you'd like to add for this session, Curtis? I know next week everyone will be addressing selling your looper boat. Is there anything more we need to know about buying, Curtis?
No, nothing's really changed in the process. I still advocate hiring a buyer brokerage. I still see a lot of people that travel all over the country looking at boats and get very frustrated because a boat has been described as in immaculate condition and they arrive and it's not, and they've wasted a lot of time and money. And I see people who hire a buyer broker, a true buyer broker, who previews boats for them and eliminates the rough boats and zeroes in on the short list of good boats, they have a better buying process, a more enjoyable process, and enjoy the whole process much more.
I would imagine in the long run a less expensive process.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Fortune traveling all over the country looking at boats.
You really can, especially today with the airlines. I look at my cost for flying around the country, and it's gone up dramatically, and now we have fuel prices going up again. So driving is getting expensive. But it's just more the frustration of having someone tell you, absolutely, come in. The boat is in beautiful condition, and you get there, and it's extremely rough. And maybe the photos online or in the magazine don't reflect the true condition of the boat. You know, it's unprofessional. It's just a real shame.
I mean, can you imagine getting your hopes up and think this is your perfect boat and then go to see it and it's a mess? It would be devastating.
And it happens day in and day out. We constantly hear it, and that's why I promote, you know, the buyer brokerage so much. And that's why I like to talk about selling your boat, because of condition issues and pointing out just minor things that are cosmetic that really make a difference in selling your boat in today's market.
We will address that issue next week. I do want to tell everyone our fall rendezvous at Joe Wheeler State Park, October 14th to the 17th, is filling up extremely quickly. Curtis will be giving a seminar, and then he'll be able to go into depth on these subjects. There'll be 90-minute seminars with plenty of time for questions and answers on both buying a boat and selling a boat. So, Curtis, we thank you for all the time you give to AGLCA and our loopers. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Janice, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody in Rogersville here pretty soon.
Fantastic, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.